As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Good morning, to the No Dunks Podcast, presented by Sleeper. It's Wednesday, October 13th. This is part three of our NBA season preview series. I'm J.E. Skeets, and alongside me, as always, we got Tass Mellis.
What's going on, everybody?
What's up, Tassie? Back from the dead, it's Atlanta Braves hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-yo! The international man of mystery, taking it to the Vax, Lee Ellis.
Friend.
And last but not least, making the magic happen is JD.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. Three guys wearing the same design from the NoDunks.com merch store. I'm talking about Tassie and Lee in the beautiful No Dunks Racing t-shirt, and JD there rocking the hoodie. We didn't plan this. Everybody just felt like wearing this on a Wednesday, so go get your No Dunks merch over at NoDunks.com. How do they feel, JD? Comfortable.
Oh, this is the best sweatshirt we have. I mean, I think I say that every time, but this one's nice and light. It's very, very comfortable. It's all weather, I think. And I'm
all weather, even in Atlanta?
Yeah, even in Atlanta, yes.
Oh, you guys look great. Baby blue, it just really pops on all three of you guys. It really brings out your eyes, if we're being honest. Shout out to the stream team for joining us live right now on YouTube. Make sure you guys subscribe, like, comment, and share the show as we gear up for the start of the actual NBA season. Coming up in mere days, next Tuesday night is when the action gets underway. Hit us with your questions and comments. Email in your questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. We're going to start hitting the beach soon, too, I just realized. Once the season starts, we'll have our episodes where we just answer your questions. So get those in. Tweet them in at NoDunksInc, or you can leave them below the YouTube videos. We have reached part three here. We're halfway through, or once we're halfway through this show, we're halfway through our season preview series. If you missed the first two chapters, go check them out. That's what, Tass? 3 hours of content just waiting for you if you haven't watched or listened to those yet. They're like an hour and a half each, I think.
At least. At least 3 hours of content. Plus the ads, probably 3:10.
Oh,
I don't know.
That's right.
The ads are content. Live reads are back. You can call that content.
Yeah. JD, do we got live ad reads in today's show, or are these canned?
These will be canned.
Oh.
These will be canned. You know, sometimes people don't catch them live, so we wanna give the folks a chance to experience. Exactly.
Nice spin to that. Very nice. The real reason is we just get a little lazy, maybe. Who wants to keep reading those same ad reads all week long? Okay, let's get to our first question here, part three. We talked about the Western Conference and who are the favorites to win that, maybe in the regular season and then to roll through the playoffs. But today, Tass, we got the Eastern Conference. So that's the first cue for you, my man, and we can eventually get to the odds. I did pull those. But who wins the East, according to Tass Mellis? Where are you going?
It is the Brooklyn Nets. It's them. And I hate just being that simplistic about it, but The Milwaukee Bucks would not have won the NBA Finals if the Nets were healthy in the postseason last year. They had a healthy KD and half a Harden when that series was over. And if it wasn't for KD's passion for large shoes, then maybe the Brooklyn Nets win, because he had his toe on the line to send that game to overtime. Could have been a game winner. Now, it went seven games with the eventual champs, and no Kyrie for several of those games. So I don't even think this Kyrie Irving scenario would play a factor. The Nets are the best team. They were the second seed last year. Their big three played eight games together during the regular season. Eight. And so they're far better going into this season. They had the best offense in the freaking NBA last year. Again, with those guys playing eight games. So how can you say it's any team but the Nets? So those guys didn't play the full season last year. Durant played less than half the season. Harden just played just over half the season. And Kyrie, I think, missed about 18 games when all was said and done. But in coming into this year, Harden is in better shape. He said it's scary season for the rest of the league. He's not partying anymore. It's him and KD to lead the way. With the best shooter in the game, Joe Harris, had the highest three-point percentage in the game. And then healthier guys, LaMarcus Aldridge is back. Blake Griffin is there for a full season. Paul Millsap is there. Patty Mills. How many open shots is Patty Mills going to get playing with this team? If you remember in the postseason, when they took the Bucks to seven games, Kevin Durant had to create absolutely everything for that offense. So Patty Mills subs in for Landry Shamet. Patty Mills can make things happen on the offensive end, just like he did for FIBA basketball, right, Lee? I mean, that sort of dynamic there, they didn't have that. This team is better. Javon Carter, even as a backup point guard to pressure the ball. They got James Johnson. They're going to try and throw at Giannis. I probably mentioned like 10 guys there. So that's a way deeper team. And even if Kyrie Irving isn't there, which we saw the Athletic Shams Charania drop the report that Kyrie Irving is not going to be with the team, as we talked about yesterday, until he gets vaccinated. Mm-hmm. And in this report, he said he's not anti-vaccine. So I kind of would expect him to come back. We saw last year, he said he wasn't going to talk to the media. Eventually, he talked to the media. I would think that he will eventually get the vaccine. And I think with Kyrie and his teammates, you kind of expect these sort of things where he's not going to be around to happen. It happened in Cleveland, where he didn't talk to his teammates for extended periods. They won a title with LeBron James. It is really unfortunate that he hasn't taken the vaccine. I can understand there's people in the U.S. That have hesitancy, that don't believe what governments say, what governmental associations say. But those people are reading misinformation and reading the wrong information. Kyrie Irving has access to all of the experts and all the correct information. And so I would expect him to come around and to be vocal about his decision, because he should be, because he knows exactly what he should be doing right now. And either way, though, on the basketball floor, if he's not, I still think the Brooklyn Nets are the friggin' the favorites by far. And it sounds nuts to say that, but if you look at what happened last year, again, barely playing with each other, being a two seed, and all that, and now being an even stronger, deeper team, yeah, they're the favorites.
Yeah, Vegas agrees with you. I mean, here are the Eastern Conference odds. They are by far the favorites to come out of the East, followed by the Bucks there, then the Sixers, Heat, Hawks, and Celtics. Trey, what do you think? Does Tass make some great points here? Kyrie or no Kyrie, it doesn't really matter to the Brooklyn Nets' chances to win the Eastern Conference, or is that disrespectful to the Milwaukee Bucks?
My good friend Tass Mellis always makes a great point, and he's exactly right. The best time to beat a super team is in year one, before they can get all of these low-cost veterans that are really going to help out, because this is somehow the deepest team in the NBA right now. Even if Kyrie doesn't play a single game this season, I'm with Tass. I don't think that they would be such a huge favorite in the Eastern Conference without Kyrie, but as it stands, Kevin Durant and James Harden, that's two MVPs right there. Not to mention you've got like every all-star power forward from the Western Conference over the past 10 seasons. Like, how did they get LaMarcus Aldridge and Blake Griffin and Paul Millsap? We were all excited for Patty Mills as a signing way back when. James Johnson will help. Nicholas Claxton had big minutes last year. Joe Harris, best shooter in the league, like Tass is saying, and assuming they can stay somewhat healthy, you just have to think that the continuity of actually playing together a little bit last season and maybe getting to share the court some more together this year will be big for the Nets. I think that they're going to be incredible on offense, obviously. And as we saw in the playoffs, they can turn the defense up a little bit when they need it, at least to a respectable level to be competing against the Milwaukee Bucks. Sure, the Bucks, I think... Accepting Kyrie, if Kyrie's not playing, I think the Bucks and the Nets are going to be very even team-wise. And over the course of the past couple of seasons, you would say the players on the Bucks have stayed healthier in general than the Nets have. So, you know, no Kyrie evens the playing field a little bit here, but the Nets have a ton of depth at the top. They've got three stars, two of which we know will be playing. And then from there, they've got another 10 or 12 guys who can contribute. So, yeah, I think the Nets are still sitting pretty even without Kyrie.
Lee, what do you think? And I don't think we need to do 15 or 20 minutes on it because we did touch on it yesterday when we had the sort of the breaking news there coming from the Nets and Sean Marks with the release and all that. But two parts. One, do you agree with Tass that maybe this is the first step with Shams, report by, from sources from Kyrie's camp? This is the first step to Kyrie returning. And two, do you like how the Nets have handled this and saying, we're not going to do a part-time player thing here, man? You're either in on this team or you're not. And to be in on this team in this state, by the rules from the government, you have to be vaccinated. What do you think to both of those questions?
Yeah, Sean Marks and Joseph Tai got it right there, because you can't have a guy who can easily fix this situation by just getting the vaccine. But if he doesn't want to do that, then he is limiting his availability to the team. And the team has to sort of draw a line in the sand and say, man, just get the vaccine. It's safe. Whatever you're reading, that misinformation, forget about it. Go and take the vaccine and then you can play and we forget about it and we move on. All throughout the season, any team, as the Nets know as well as anybody last season, injuries are going to be a part of it and players are going to miss time, as we saw with Durant and Harden in the playoffs. Durant through the season and then Harden and Kyrie in the playoffs. So it's going to be a factor at some point. They don't need an added layer of unnecessary, you know, a player missing time for something that is easily resolved. So I admire and applaud Sean Marks for taking that approach and saying, if you're not going to be in all the way, then you're not in at all. And now the ball is in Kyrie's court. And, you know, he said God's protecting him. I think God said, hey, I've got enough on my plate. Here's a vaccine. You take that and you take care of yourself. So that's what I think they need to do. That should be the way it is through the league. If you're not going to buy in fully, then you're out. So, yeah, this is absolutely the right move by the Nets.
What does this all say about the Milwaukee Bucks? Again, I want to go back to them. They're the defending champs. And yeah, it was a close series, but Giannis went to the next level. Middleton and Drew had, you know, at times some questionable games, but at other times looked like incredible, you know, second and third stars on that squad behind Giannis. They're still deep. They really have only lost who? PJ Tucker, who was, you know, important to them, but it wasn't helpful. Like he was locking up Kevin Durant in that series. You know, Bobby Portis back on an unbelievable deal. And they just have that probably that no Budenholzer, you know, cloud hanging over them and all that. Oh, if he comes up short, he's gone. And where do we go then? And Giannis is signed. He's there long term. It's like they should be so loose, Tass, in a good way. And confident that they can hang and beat anybody. I think I get with all you're saying with the Nets. I mean, look, Harden and KD alone. Whether Kyrie, by the way, averaged like 27, 7, and 5 on 50, 40, 90s. Like, he was amazing when he played. So he's an important piece, but those two guys are that good, Harden and KD. I still like the Bucks, though. I'm not writing them off just because of the Nets, you know, top-loaded talent. You can't at all. Especially with Giannis, you know, appearing in the finals to really go to a next level. I think that's something that could just carry over, again, with that, you know, that championship sort of monkey off your back.
Yeah, and I don't think they were playing their best basketball against the Brooklyn Nets. I think it picked up against the Atlanta Hawks. Even when Giannis went out, they became more of a family. They became more of a Fast and the Furious when Giannis went out and Drew Holiday and Brooke Lopez and Chris Middleton had to take on bigger roles. Mm-hmm. Then Giannis came back playing on half a leg and... yeah, I think I finished the finals with a 50-point game. I think that experience, you know, if we look back to those Miami Heat teams in the early 2010s, Chris Bosh went out. They somehow rallied. He came back. He played the five. You know, some adversity kind of gets teams to their best level. And I think that's what happened with the Milwaukee Bucks. They are at their best level, no doubt. But I think you can look back to those 2010 teams and look at sort of what Trey was saying there. Year one, it was really, really difficult for those Miami Heat teams to build around their stars. They ended up losing in the finals to the Dallas Mavericks in year one. Year two, they found a way to get enough role players to go and win the thing. And it would sure help if the Brooklyn superstars were healthy as well. That's a big part of it. I mean, the Bucks are very good, but you got three MVPs, a lot of MVP action there with the Brooklyn Nets. So much talent on their front line that they could lose one of those guys and still be that good. And Aldridge and Millsap, I know they're past their primes. But I think you can look at those guys, and even though I think we've asked the question before, 20 years from now, who are two guys you'll forget about that were really great players in the league? Well, they got both of them, LaMarcus Aldridge and Paul Millsap. Those two guys, how many All-Star appearances between them? 11? But they're just perfect role players for this team. Mm-hmm. And they are so stacked. So, yeah, they've improved greatly. I mean, how many positions? Those guys, like a healthier LaMarcus Aldridge, I think Javon Carter's gonna play a factor, and Nick Claxton, as Trey said, like those guys,
if you take Kyrie out of the equation though, and you just line it up like your best three against our best three, I think it's a lot closer than maybe we're leading some to believe, in the sense that it's like, who's the third best Nets player in this scenario? Is it Joe Harris? It's not probably Aldridge or Millsap or Blake Griffin at this point. No, yeah, no. Okay. So it's Joe Harris. Okay, KD, Harden, Joe Harris. Good, good. But then Giannis, Middleton, and Drew Holiday, that's close to me.
And the Bucks will, in a playoff series, the Bucks are going to have Giannis. And the Nets still don't have an answer for Giannis, no matter how many power forwards they bring in. Like Aldridge, if he is healthy come playoff time, it'll be nice to have a little bit bigger of a guy than Blake Griffin. Blake Griffin, great effort last year defensively against Giannis, but Giannis is Giannis, and there's a reason why he won two MVPs, and he's still got a couple of inches on basically all those guys, or the speed and the strength. So that's going to be the battle for the Nets and the Bucks, is who can assert their dominance, really. Like, if it's Giannis dominating inside, you're looking at the Bucks. And if it's all the perimeter guys, no doubt you're looking at the Nets.
Final question is this. Oh, sorry, go ahead, Lee.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, I think, though, you are actually going to see these two teams really competing down to the wire for that number one seed, though, because I think it is really important. The Bucks lost one game at home in the playoffs last season. That was game one to the Atlanta Hawks. And remember game three against the Nets there. I mean, that series was on the line less than a minute to go, and the Bucks pulled it out. And that sort of got them going again. So I don't think they want to be in that same position they were last season, where they had to overcome home court advantage against them twice, against the Nets and then against the Phoenix Suns in the finals. So I think if you are the Bucks, it's like, these teams' experience seems, they like, we don't want to go full throttle during the regular season, but we also want to see if we can lock up that home court, because it could just be the difference mm-hmm. in a series against the Brooklyn Nets. They survived that game seven, incredible game seven there in Brooklyn. But other than that, I think you would rather obviously have that game one and game seven on your own court.
Starts game one, opening night.
My final cue with this is, 2 years ago, the Heat sort of came out of nowhere in the bubble and surprised everybody going to the finals. Last year, I think it's safe to say the Suns sort of did the same. They had a great regular season, don't get me wrong, but then, suddenly they're in the finals. 99% people think it's Bucks or Nets representing the Eastern Conference. But if you had to pick sort of a wild card team, Trey, who would you go with? Who could you, like, talk yourself into being, again, maybe the shocking team from the East?
Would you still consider the Heat a wild card team after they had a finals appearance a couple of years ago? They got smacked by the Bucks, obviously, last year in round one, added Kyle Lowry, the biggest free agent move of the offseason. But I think they're still the team that you look at. I imagine the Heat will have maybe a disappointing regular season compared to the expectations coming here, because they're not a super deep team. Tass was talking about Max Strus potentially going into the dunk contest last year. It seems like he will probably get some minutes this year, likely Gabe Vincent as well. But when you're playing in a playoff series and it's more like you only need seven guys, then the Heat will really shine. And if the matchups fall the right way, I can certainly see Miami making another run this year.
All right, our next question. Favorite over or under win total bet? You can go either way with this one, Lili. You can say, well, look at the line for this team, hit the over, or look at the line for this team, this team's going to stink. Hit the under. I don't know if you've got a couple that you like, Lee. Let's make some money here, though. What do you
okay, got? Okay. I'll start with the one that I think is an absolute lock. And the New Orleans Pelicans, their win-loss total is 39.5. Now,
okay.
Zion Williamson isn't even running at the moment. The regular season starts next week. If he's back before Thanksgiving and 100%, I will be shocked. And for that reason, I really do think the Pelicans are in trouble here. They do not have a super deep roster. Their second best player is probably Valanciunas, and then maybe Devontae Graham after that, who they picked up in the offseason. This is a massive season for the Pelicans. They've got a brand new coach as well in Willie Green. Dave Griffin, you know, he must be feeling a little bit of pressure right now because Zion's obviously into his third season here. They want to keep, we're already hearing the sort of whispers about his connections to the New York Knicks. Now, Zion said he loves New Orleans. Of course he did. Someone said, make sure you say that. But if he doesn't come back, and again, he's coming off a foot surgery here, and he's not running a week before the season. He's a big guy. He's a strong, heavy guy. But I think it's going to take him a long time to get back to real solid game shape there. And I just look at that roster. They're in the Western Conference as well. I think you are going to cash in heavily if you smash the under there for the Pelicans. I think they'll be right now with everything we know and the prognosis on Zion. If they get to 30 wins, I think that's going to be a good season for them right now. I was looking at their roster this morning and I'm like, oh my goodness, it's kind of worse than I thought. So, and again, they're in the West. It's a tougher right. place to play there. Ingram. I overlooked Ingram there. You know, he's obviously been an all-star. He's a good player, but not sure he can carry that team too much without Zion there. So if you want to make some money, I would take that 39 to get them to 500, basically what they're saying in Vegas. I don't think that's going to happen right now.
Okay, just before you give us another one, what do you think, Tass, about that?
Well, I think the roster is better than you're leading on, Lee, but without Zion Williamson there, then yeah, I mean, everything goes points to under 39.5. I'll say David Griffin, he's got some magician in him. He can play a little Houdini. He can play some tricks. September 27th, he came in a media day and said, "Oh yeah, Zion Williamson had surgery in the off season. He'll be fine. Opening night, he'll be good to go." And it looks like there's no possible way. You say Thanksgiving, Lee. Yeah, it's going to be November. The guy's not running at this point. So you know, they kind of have. Put fans in the dark there in New Orleans. You know, the lack of transparency for what? I don't really get. I think it just kind of it's just going to have Pelicans fans asking questions. This was a total mystery that he had foot surgery in the off season. He heard it before summer league, so that was August. They kept it under wraps, and Griffin said he would be good to go for the regular season. Now, I'm a believer. Further down the roster, I know that it looked bleak trading Eric Bledsoe and Steven Adams for Jonas Valanciunas, but I do think they have some depth in Nikhil Alexander-Walker and Devontae Graham that would make sense around, you know, a superstar in Zion Williamson. He can get to that level, but if they don't have the superstar, then what are we talking about here? Yeah, I would. It's bleak because you don't know when he's coming back, especially with the way the Pelicans have handled it the last few weeks.
I would imagine the reason they kept Pelicans fans in the dark about Zion Williamson's foot injury is to sell some season tickets. come on out, come on down, yeah. And watch your Pelicans play, not knowing that Zion may or may not be there for the start of it. Who knows? I'm guessing here. Trey, anything to add to the Pelicans line there? Are you with these guys that if you had to pick one or the other, you're probably going under 39.5?
With the Zion absence at the beginning of the season, I think you got to go under here. 41 wins would be an incredible season for the Pelicans. If they can get to 500, you're loving the over there, but it's going to be tough without their best guy.
Okay, back to you, Lee. What else you got?
Yeah, well, I'm going to be a little bit more positive here, and we just sort of talked about the Eastern Conference. The Bucks are only 54.5. Give me the over. I think they're definitely going to win more than 55 games this season, or at least 55 games, because, as I said, you know, home court advantage for experienced teams like LeBron has done in the past and like the Warriors have done after their 73-9 season, they know that that's not necessarily what you're competing for. But in the East, I think it is important to at least make sure that come those last sort of 10 to 15 games of the season, if it does become a factor, you're going to have to go for it. So I think the Bucks are going to be a lot closer to 60 wins. Again, assuming health, but you know, as long as they've got Giannis out there, and Giannis we saw gets injured against the Atlanta Hawks last season in the playoffs, and we wondered, wow, is he going to be able to come back? And he comes back and puts up an incredible series against the Phoenix Suns. So I think the Bucks are clearly going to get over 54.5 wins. Give me much closer to 60 wins. I think there's some easy money to be made there.
Oh, look at this guy.
This was my pick as well.
All right.
Yeah, 100%. 54.5, that is crazy. These guys are the NBA champions and somehow still being slept on. They played at a 52-win pace last season during a year when they were experimenting with a whole bunch of new defenses and trying to integrate Jrue Holiday into their lineup. 60-plus wins the 2 years prior to 2020. Their big three are pretty reliable at this point. You know, we mentioned Dante DiVincenzo. He's gone down with an injury, but they have a replacement in Grayson Allen. So I'm thinking the Bucks are going to be probably the one seed in the Eastern Conference, especially now that we know Kyrie's not going to be starting the season with the Nets.
Yeah, and I guess you could like maybe be concerned of like, well, they're defending champs. They can play the long game here. Maybe they'll rest Giannis. Maybe they'll rest Middleton. They sort of find their rest in games. Where Budenholzer's been sort of like criticized before, right? Like, why aren't you playing Giannis more minutes and stuff like that? But they do this thing where they can build leads and have a deep enough team that they're like, well, he's going to play, but he's only going to play, you know, 35 minutes tonight, 34 minutes, something like that. So maybe they'll continue to do that. I like it too. I would hit the over on that. I think that is a little too low for Milwaukee. 55 wins at the minimum. I mean,
back into an 82-game season for sure.
Yeah, it seems wild that they wouldn't be flirting with 60. I'm with you guys. Tass, let's go to you next, though. You got an over-under you like?
You guys are so confident in your picks. I'm lacking a little confidence in mine. But I think the Boston Celtics at 45.5, they're going to bounce back. I see the over there. They were a decent team last year, 10th in offense, 14th in defense, outscoring their opponents by 1.5. Ended up at 500. I think those numbers show you that they're better than a 500 team. That would lead to more wins. And so a 46-win team is a little high, but I think Kemba Walker leaving the team, there might be just a little bit more better balance. Not that they're better, but last season Tatum was 23.5 points per 36 minutes with Walker on the court, but he was a scorcher with Kemba off the court, 28.7 points, so an extra 5 per 36 minutes. So that leads me to believe that there just might be better balance with Marcus Smart at the point guard spot. Al Horford is now back. Robert Williams, a growth year for him. Now, a couple of their guys have contracted the coronavirus real early in the preseason, Jaylen Brown being the big one, also Al Horford. But I kind of just believe in Ime Udoka as their head coach. He wants to move the ball more, and I think they're going to buy into that. And they're a better team than that 500 record because the numbers show it. And I think they'll sort of just be on the same page again. Jason Tatum missed a chunk of the year last year, so that won't happen again, hopefully, for him. And I think they're a cohesive unit. And the Eastern Conference, there's some wins to be had there. So I think they can get a 46-47 win season.
I'm with you on that one. I love the Celtics over. I feel like the Celtics are not being talked about at all heading into this season. Like, very, very minimal. I'm with Hollinger. He said, it's weird to think that their bad luck, like with opponent shooting and just losing close games, would continue for a second year too. They lost a lot of close games. A lot of people called them soft last year, so maybe Udoka does give them a little bit more of a an intensity to them, a little pride in that roster now. And I like, you know, well, look, I've talked about Josh Richardson before. Hopefully he helps. Juancho is there. Hernan Gomez, Cantor, Schroeder, they got for nothing. And you're really just banking on Tatum and Jaylen Brown being like obviously your stars here. I think 45.5 over. Oh, you like the under?
Why? Take the under for the Celtics because I think their team is almost the exact same as it was last year. Jason Tatum, awesome. Jaylen Brown, awesome. Still, nobody gets to the line. Nobody rebounds. They don't really have a big guy who's an answer who's going to stay on the court. And you're asking for a lot from Dennis Schroeder and Al Horford, which didn't go well last year for the Thunder and the Lakers, respectively.
Yeah, they were a 500 team last year, so they definitely would have to play above that to hit the over. Of course, there's more games than there were last year. There were 36 and 36, finishing seventh. Where do you think, Lee? Are you with Trey on this one? Are you an underman on the Celtics, or are you with Tass and I?
Yeah, I'm probably more leaning towards Trey, I think, on this one. I think they've got the two studs, no doubt about Brown and Tatum, both all-stars last year. They're phenomenal. If they can stay on the court and they stay healthy, then the Celtics are a much better team. But they have had some, you know, as every team's had to deal with some injuries over the past. But other than those guys, yeah, not convinced. I mean, basically, Al Horford came back because the Thunder just said, who wants him? And he can come back. And he didn't really, you know, he's not the same player he was. He barely played at all last season. Schroeder can be good.
Al Horford, you guys can't stop talking about Aldridge, Millsap, and Blake Griffin, but Al Horford's one.
They're coming off the bench, though.
Yeah, he could be starting at the four. I mean, they have high hopes for Robert Williams to play.
Same. I love Robert Williams, but the guy's a foul fest.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, he's active, no doubt about that, defending and blocking shots and all that, but he needs to stay on the court. And, yeah, Schroeder, Schroeder, I think, is just better as a backup point guard. I don't think as a starting member, he's going to be as good as he thinks he is. I mean, he didn't get close to getting the money he wanted. He's wearing the jersey that all the money that he missed out on there, the jersey number that he missed out on. So I'm not sure. I think, as I say, I think I can easily see Tatum and Brown being all-stars again because they are so good. I just sort of think after that, there's not a whole lot of depth on that team as it is right now. And that's tough for a rookie head coach in Ime Udoka.
Only two Beantown boys out of the four here on our season preview podcast. I like the over. I'm with Tassie on this one. Trey, what do you got your eye on, though? Another team, over, under.
Here, let me freelance one for you, Skeets. Because mine was the Bucks. I really like the Bucks over, but I'll take a Miami Heat under. They're 48.5 right now, and I just think that they're going to take a little bit of time bringing Kyle Lowry into the lineup. Like I mentioned before, they're not a super deep team. They're going to be better in the playoffs, and I don't know, you know, Jimmy Butler's a guy who will miss a little bit of time. Kyle Lowry will miss a little bit of time, most likely. And if that's the case, the Eastern Conference has gotten pretty solid this year, so I could still see the Bucks, or the Heat finishing as a top four seed, but I don't think that's necessarily a guarantee. They will be a team nobody wants to see in the playoffs, but I don't think bringing Lowry in will be a super easy. I mean, I think it'll be super easy over the course of the season, but right away there's going to be a little bit of an adjustment time, a new guy who handles the ball quite a bit, and I just, there will be times, no doubt, when the Heat's offense disappears, and maybe the defense is good enough to keep him in the game, but they don't pull it off with the dub there in the end.
So you had the Heat as, what, 48.5? Is that what Vegas?
48.5's number.
Nearly a damn 50-win team there. Okay, you're going under. I got one more I'll throw at you guys.
The Raptors
I'm avoiding like crazy. I've already said, I go back and forth between, what's their line, 37.5 or something like that?
35.5.
Oh, man. You could just see them, like, I don't know. If they got off to a slow start, you could see them leaning in towards, let's just get a draft pick and let's trade Dragic and, like, let's just play all the young guys and, hey, let's slow play Siakam and all that. Though, they could be very good, too, because they obviously have this very switchable defense and you got a great coach and Nick Nurse. And, yeah, could they win 36 games? It seems like they could. I'm not touching that one, Tass. I will touch the Jazz. How do you touch Jazz? I don't know. I'm trying to touch the notes. I'm going to get canceled for saying I want to touch the Jazz. No, I like the Bucks. I find this line very weird. 52.5. The Utah Jazz are going to win they're going to win 53 games. They are. They're like the continuity alone. They're a damn good regular season team. They are, as we've said on one of the previous podcasts, I think it was Trey, they're basically the Milwaukee Bucks of old, which was, all right, we know you're an awesome regular season team. We know you're going to like flirt with 60 wins every year. Show us in the playoffs. Show us in a playoff series that you can adapt and go a little bit deeper. So no one's going to care about them like at all this year because like, oh yeah, Jazz won again. Who cares? Let's see it in April and May. But I mean, they had the best net rating in the league last year, top four offensive and defensive. I just thought they won 52 games last year in a 72 game season. So you got 10 more games. I think this one's a no brainer. I don't know if I'm getting any pushback from any of you. Lee, you got a problem with that one?
No, it's the same. I agree. They are a good regular season team. The big question for the Jazz is in the playoffs. But for this question, that doesn't matter. This is how many games can you win? And the Jazz just win a ton of games. You know, so yeah, I can easily see them getting over that line because that's what they do. The big question is, will that, you know, change come playoff time? But they're a very good team, well coached. They've got the balance, the depth, the defense, the home court, all those factors that make you just pile up wins in the regular season.
Yeah. Here's one way you touch Jazz, Skeets.
Sure.
This is one of your favorite Of all time, as you said.
Touch jazz.
Yeah, Pau Gasol and Tim Duncan. Pau on the sax. Looks like an alto sax in his hands. I don't know. Could be a tenor. And Timmy?
Yep.
Is that a bass or is it a cello?
I don't know. Zach Cox used to play that, I believe. JD, you want to jump in here? What is this? Just a, what do we got there?
Yeah, that's a bass, I would say.
Imagine lugging that around at school.
Yeah. Oh, I did. I played that in grade 9. I had to ride the subway and a streetcar.
Oh my god!
With that thing back and forth. Oh, brutal.
Did you make a few bucks though, like busking on the, on the subway?
Yeah, no one was interested in hearing me play the bass on a crowded streetcar for some reason.
Surprising. I mean, I was always envious. I played like 1 year, I played the trombone. And I remember looking at the trumpet players and being like, ah, God, they got it right. You know, look how tiny that thing is. You can basically put it in a knapsack. And the trombones aren't even that big compared to the bass cello there. Whatever.
I mean, it's pretty light, I guess, but
the trombone? Yeah, it's light.
No, the bass is it's wood.
That's light?
It's hollow, right? Like, you know.
I didn't know that. You can put your books in it?
Well, no, that's not advisable. Not advisable.
That's why you subscribe to our YouTube channel to see photos like Pau.
That is an iconic, like, just... blog photo really is what I think of that. That was the blog days when that was going around.
Yeah. No, great. Does anybody know who made this photo?
Yeah. Somebody tweeted, like, you're right, Tass. I've been tweeting this over the last couple of months because of Pau Gasol retiring.
And he retweeted it once upon a time. He loves this photo.
Trey, help me out. Is there like a Clintonite 33 or something like that? Does that sound?
There is. Yeah, I think so.
He made that. I think somebody tweeted that at me.
Clintonite.
Yeah. There you go.
Impressive.
Clintonite.
Clintonite, right. 33 on Twitter.
Lee, did you play any instruments?
I did play the recorder. I took about 3 lessons of the keyboard as well. That didn't go all that well. Okay. And I tried the guitar as well. I tried the acoustic. Just don't have the fingers for it. That's all. That's just not there, you know, because I'm trying to play, you know, one part of it and then I'm trying to get the fingers going. I couldn't get them to coordinate. So, yeah, unfortunately, being a rocker was not in my DNA there. So disappointing. I love the acoustic guitar, but just can't play it.
Blame the fingers.
Yeah, I've got one still in the closet behind me that Matty O left me. I can pass it on to you if you want.
Yeah, yeah. Nah, I mean, you know, my old mate Dan Mouse as well, old Eight Toes' brother, he picked up the guitar so
easily.
What's
his name? Hold on. What's
Dan,
his name?
Dan.
Dan Mouse?
Mouse, yeah. Their last name's Mousley. He picked up the guitar so,
so his
easily.
His last name's Mousley, not Mouse.
Yeah. But he picked it up so easily, and I was like, oh my God, he just like, he's a natural. So I thought I'd be the same, but nah, wasn't to be. So,
heard you sing, I'm shocked that that's the case.
Well, you know what? I actually found a guitar one night. It was at it was in Brighton in England in 2002. When Fatboy Slim played this massive concert on Brighton Beach, 250,000 people were there, only expecting 60,000. Shut down the whole city because people were just flooding the city. And So I found an acoustic guitar, and I was walking around. And you know that song by Extreme?
Fatboy Slim?
No, you know that song by Extreme?
Right about now.
More than words.
More than words.
Yeah.
I started playing that because it's just like, you know, you strum and then hit the guitar, strum and hit the guitar. And I started playing that and just singing along. And people came along and it was like joining in. Like, it was like... For a brief minute,
next thing I know, 250,000 people, eyes on me.
For literally like 60 to 90 seconds, people thought I was actually playing the song because it was like, you know, saying I love you is not the words I.
But wait, hold on. You weren't playing chords or anything.
No, I was just strum, stop, like that, because that's how it sounds if you watch the video. That's all they're doing.
Max
so.
Strum.
Listen, it's like 2 o'clock in the morning. Everyone's drunk. Everyone's high off their heads on ecstasy there in Brighton. And if people are just like, oh, this guy seems to be knowing what he's doing. He's got a guitar. I mean, he brings a guitar to the beach.
I want to be there that 60 seconds in when everyone starts to realize, oh, this guy doesn't know how to play the guitar.
Yeah, well, I got a request from someone. He wanted me to, guitar's Australian, he wanted me to play a Hunters and Collectors song. And I was just like, oh, God. Nah, my cover's blown, man. I can't play anything.
That's when your cover was blown.
As always, I'm so glad that I just come to you and ask you, did you ever play an instrument? And we somehow end up with that story. Amazing. Okay, we're going to take our first break. Still tons of questions here. Part three of our NBA season preview series. We'll be right back.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep. You heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, back with No Dunks, part three of our NBA season preview series. Saw in the stream team here during the ad break from Ben. He says he's a little behind on the live feed, but shout out to Trey's corduroy upper deck themed hat. I happen to also be wearing a corduroy hat as I watch corduroy. Recognize corduroy.
Totally. It's corduroy hat season. Once the calendar turns to October, put some cords on your head and warm up that dome.
Mm. He didn't play cords on the beach, but he got cords on the head.
Lee's strumming the guitar with his corduroy hat.
Like, I just put up a photo. This is what it was like that night there in Brighton. Now, this is not one of mine. I had to Google it. I've got a photo somewhere. But look at how many people were jammed in there to see old Norman Cook there. 250,000 people.
Old Norman Cook.
Yeah.
Even the boats have come in to see him.
Great night.
What, really great night?
Oh, yeah. Awesome night. Yeah. Perfect night.
I can't believe you can remember it with all that ecstasy.
No, I didn't touch it. I've never touched ecstasy, but, we had a few drinks. But, yeah.
Come on, mate. It's fun. You touch some ecstasy, you touch the jazz, you're living the life.
Okay. Let's get back to the questions. We got another awards prediction here. I find these get a little more difficult because we've already done MVP. We did Rookie of the Year. Now we're into Defensive Player of the Year. Trey, what's your best guess? Is it as simple as Rudy Gobert winning his fourth, which would tie him with Ben Wallace and Dikembe Mutombo for the most all time? Is that right? Dwight only has three, right? Yeah. Is it somebody else? What do you think, Trey?
I think it's somebody else. New season, new winner, new year, new me. I got to talk about defense. Anthony Davis winning Defensive Player of the Year this year. I feel like I've picked him at least twice before. Hasn't come through yet, but this is the year, because yeah. Anthony Davis needs to be special on defense for the Lakers to be at the level they want to be. As we know, he says he's going to be playing the five, and that's going to unlock him defensively to do the things he's best at: guard the rim and make plays out on the perimeter. When the Lakers won the title, they were a top five defense, and to be a title contending team, they're going to need to be a top five defense as well. As we know, the perimeter defense now is not the same that it was in 2020. So there are going to be a lot more mistakes to clean up, which means Anthony Davis will have a lot more to do. And I think he's up to it. He didn't have a great season last year. I feel like coming into early in the season, once it started in December, he was just in a little bit of slacking mode, you know, kind of taking it easy to start the year. And the Lakers just never recovered. He eventually went down with an injury, but now they've got a lot to prove this year. So give me AD winning his first DPOY.
I like that pick, too. He's made it clear he wants to win this, at least in the past. It was sort of like on his little list of things he wanted to accomplish. The one difficult part is they did have a great defense still last year. Amazingly, they were the best defensive rating team in the league. But now, no KCP and no Caruso and, like, injuries to Horton Tucker and Ariza to some extent, like wing guys. If they remain the best defensive team in the league because of a great system that Vogel has in place, I'm with you. I could see AD getting a lot of the credit, and probably deservedly so, especially if he's playing in the five. But they have to remain probably still a top three defensive team, and I guess it's in play. Tass, where do you go with this one? AD, Gobert, somebody else? And I'll throw up the odds here too, Tass, if you want to take a look at them and make some money for the people out there. What do you got?
Oh, I'm not very good at prognosticating defensive players of the year. I think it's hard. I tend to go towards a big, for sure. I like the narrative to back, because I think it really just it helps somebody win it. So if Anthony Davis can have the Lakers up close to the top after they've lost a couple of their good perimeter players in Caruso and KCP, he's got a great narrative, for sure. And he has already been sort of around the top the last couple of years. He definitely wants to win it. And so I like that pick. And I think it will be sort of a theme around the league that guys who had bad years last year, or you know, subpar years for them, will bounce back. And I think Anthony Davis will be focused on that. A lot of guys now have a real offseason. The Lakers didn't have one last year. As we said, it was 2 days ago last year that they won the 2020 title. What, you know, it's a mind boggler there, that it doesn't really make sense. So I think that this offseason really will help Anthony Davis. Will they have a good defense though, with Russell Westbrook being the quarterback of that D? It's hard. It's really hard to imagine the guys who are going to come in, like Malik Monk and Kendrick Nunn,
Mello,
be able to slow guys down on the perimeter. And then when it gets to like Mello or Ariza, I don't know. It's the power of LeBron and Anthony Davis, though. If Anthony Davis gets guys in line, maybe they will. Dennis Schroeder was that guy last year as the first guy, the line of defense. But then, he had KCP and Caruso to back him up. So, if Anthony Davis can somehow get these guys, even it doesn't have to be the best defense, but brings them, top three, top four, then, I could see him winning it for sure.
Okay, two votes for Anthony Davis for DPOY. Where you go, Lee?
I've been burned by Anthony Davis a couple of years, so I'm off the wagon for him. He is a great individual defender, but I am a little concerned about that Lakers defense this season. I actually think Giannis could win it again. I think he's an incredible two-way player. He goes after every shot. He has such an impact on that Milwaukee Bucks defense. He's a great shot blocker. He creates a lot of steals. He gets the rebounds. And the Bucks defense, I think they finished seventh last season. I expect them to probably improve a little bit more that. And he's just, he's already won this award. So he's been there. We know he can do it. And I think he, again, assuming health, I think he'll be right up there in contention. I think obviously Ben Simmons, who finished second last season, we have no idea what his status will be and where he's playing. I don't think he's going to be just that high this season. Miles Turner, that's he's a good shot blocker and stuff. I don't think he's a great individual defender, but he gets those defensive stats. And then you've got someone like Embiid, who was also very good there last season. But I like Giannis there at plus 1,000. I think that's pretty good odds for a guy who has won this before. He's still very much in his prime. He's super athletic. He gets dunked on a bit, but that's because he's always contesting shots and he's always there around the rim. So I like Giannis out of those. I will say Matisse Thybulle, his Olympics for Australia were incredible defensively. I don't think he's got enough to win the award in the NBA, but I certainly expect to see Matisse Thybulle get a lot more recognition for his defensive contributions. If he can
he made all defensive second team last year. He played 20 minutes a game.
Yeah.
He's that good on that end.
Yeah. If he can hit down and not start knocking down shots consistently for the Sixers, you could see there could be some MIP buzz for someone like him, because he's very, very good defensively, great at reading lanes, great individual defender, and a very good shot blocker and steals guy. So he's got all the tools. He just needs to be able to stay on the floor for a little bit longer than just 20 minutes.
Give me Rudy Gobert as my official pick. I just won't overthink it, because they should still be one of the best defensive teams in the league, and he's a big part of that. Draymond Green is fascinating to me. If the Warriors surprise some people, they were a top five defensive unit last year. You look at that roster, you're like, sort of like, huh? How? I mean, he's a huge instrumental part. He's like that KG where he's just like letting everybody know where they should be. So I could see him getting some buzz. I think Joel Embiid, of course, is in the mix. Bam Adebayo. And then maybe I think it's more difficult for a wing guy to do it. OG Anunoby is maybe a possibility if the Raptors do have an elite defense, and he would be a big reason why, though that's going to be sort of like a five-guy defensive unit, but someone's got to get the credit, so he'd be a wild card. But I'm going to go Rudy. I won't overthink it. Let's hear from everybody in the stream team. Let us know your defensive player of the year picks in the YouTube comments. Maybe somebody we haven't named yet, because with this award, it does feel, I don't know, just always feels like it's like the same four or five guys. It has been at least the last couple of years. No Kawhi right now because of his injury, but it's Embiid, It's Rudy. It's Bam. Yeah, Miles Turner's always in the mix there because of the blocks. And who else am I forgetting? I mean, that's sort of it for the most part. So we will see. Okay, next one. Which coach is on the hot seat? Who's sitting on some jazz right now? Got a jazzy ass. I don't know. Lee,
jazz is hot.
Yeah.
Lee, I actually think this is a very difficult question. I only think there's one guy, so I'm interested to see who you think.
Did you pick him?
I bet we've got the same.
I bet we do, but the reason I say that, Lee, is Ben Golliver, he broke it down. Right. 16 teams, 16, that's more than half the league, have changed coaches in the 19 months since the pandemic shutdown. Mm. The Pelicans and Pacers have executed 2 changes during that time frame. I mean, this is wild. So there's so many new guys, and like the mainstays, like Rick Carlisle, Brad Stevens, Terry Stotts, I mean, they've all moved on. There are 5 coaches that are with their current franchise since 2018. That's wild. So there's not a lot of options, I don't think, because you usually get a year or two, but where are you going?
Well, I think by default, then, it just has to be Luke Walton in Sacramento, because he's kind of dodged the bullets already up there. And I think, again, if the Kings get off to another bad start, I think he'll go. I think what's kept him in the past is the Kings just didn't want to have to pay out another guy who's not coaching them, so they've kind of stuck with him. But Sacramento, as always, a bit of a chaotic situation. Good players, but, you know, they sort of don't seem to be able to string together that consistency that's needed. So I think he's the easy choice. So let's dig a little deeper and then see if we can make a case for anybody else. Look, the Jazz are not going to get off to a bad start, but I thought they may have considered moving on from Quinn Snyder last season for another sort of bad playoff run. If things go wrong there, he's kind of, you know, there's been a little bit of tension with Donovan Mitchell there. But it's so hard to see because the Jazz are a very good, consistent regular season team. So I can see them getting out of the blocks, you know, 12-4, and it's like they're not going to fire him there. So other than that,
they've also had 3 coaches in 30 years.
Yeah, yeah. but then, you know, other than that, I mean, Dwayne Casey just got an extension. Michael Malone, I don't think the Nuggets, unless, again, short of a catastrophe to open the season, I don't think they would move on from him. There's not really a lot of guys who you think are actually.
What about Frank Vogel? Could Vogel get, like,
well, the same thing. I mean, if
the Lakers start, you know,
sure, if they're 4-15, you know, then that's the easiest thing to do. But again, it's just hard to see the Lakers falling off that much. So there's really nobody I would think that's sort of super concerned about their job. They've either got enough time here to get things right, or they're just a veteran who, you know, is going to sort of get through the season. So I think, unfortunately, Lukey's going to be sitting there playing musical chairs by himself to start the season.
Yeah, I mean, so they haven't made the playoffs in 15 years. They ranked dead last in defensive efficiency. They have to improve on that end. It can't get worse. And the real kicker, actually, for Luke Walton probably getting canned if they start slow is that the general manager, he came in after Walton's hiring. That's never good. It's amazing he's still there, as you talked about, Lee, in Monte McNair as the GM for that team. So he comes in after the coach is already there. Well, the GM's first thing is like, well, let's get my own guy in here and see if they can do a little bit better with the roster we have in place. So it does feel like Luke Walton's task. Can you make the case for anybody else, or is he the only one?
Yeah, I agree. It's got to be Luke. I'd say one thing that's in Luke's corner, excuse me, is that he's got a couple of years left on his contract. And as Lee said, they don't want to be paying guys left and right to not coach their team. So I think that bides him the rest of the season. I think Quinn Snyder is in the same boat, although Jazz is hot right now. And you said the Jazz are predictable, unlike the Jazz music, which isn't very predictable, right? It's just all over the place. You know, Kelly Dwyer can tell us, you know, you get a little saxy from this corner, you get a little trumpy from this. Everybody's just soloing at the exact same time. But that's a cohesive unit, and it's like a Budenholzer situation there with Quinn Snyder. Until the playoffs.
Right.
It doesn't really matter. He's gonna get them to the playoffs, and this could be the year that the Jazz pull it out. It feels pretty wide open. They are strong. They got a stronger bench there with Rudy Gay, and made it cheaper in their backup center spot with Hassan Whiteside. They got a little Eric Paschal in the backcourt, or on their bench, I should say. So I'm bullish on them too. Yeah, the 52.5 seems so low for the Utah Jazz.
Trey, is there anyone we're forgetting with the hot seat?
I don't think he's on the hot seat because he hasn't coached a regular season game yet, and he's a franchise legend. But the coach people are watching the most is Jason Kidd this year. So I don't necessarily think that, you know, a 5-15 start would get Jason Kidd fired from the Mavericks, but people are certainly going to be eyeballing him and seeing how he handles taking over as coach for Luka's team. And if it turns into a Kristaps Porzingis post-up sort of scenario, that will be strange to see. It'll be interesting to see if he plays a defense similar to he did with the Milwaukee Bucks when they were trapping all over the place and it worked for a quarter and then the other team figured it out and got carved up. That likely won't be the case since they don't have the personnel for it, but it's going to be interesting to see what Jason Kidd does with the Mavs and if going from Rick Carlisle, a well-respected coach who has had success the entirety of his career, to Jason Kidd, who often has a good year one and then things tend to fall apart. Maybe next year we're talking about Jason Kidd being on the hot seat.
Yeah, and I said to lead this question, like, all of these new coaches, they generally get a year or two, but, you know, the Pacers are an example, Lee, with Nate Bjorkgren, where it's like, okay, this guy's the wrong guy. I mean, he's clashing with, be it management or players, or he's a little too stubborn in his ways. And just, I think teams are, they move a little quicker now. Like the world, Lee, really.
Yeah, I think
they're not as hesitant to be like, okay, well, we screwed up. Let's get another guy. Yeah.
I think Maurice Cheeks in Detroit was the last guy to sort of get fired with not even a season into his career, I believe. And he had coached before, but the Pistons were like, nah, this is not our guy. So, yeah.
You're saying those Cheeks were on fire on the hot seat?
They wanted less Cheeks, not Mo Cheeks. But again, any coach, well, and Willie Green's a good example in New Orleans. Again, Dave Griffin, he only had Stan Van Gundy for one season. He certainly doesn't want to have to fire a coach after less than a season. But he gets a little bit more leeway, obviously, if Zion is out. You know, you're not going to fire a guy until you would think he's at least had his full roster there to work with, or certainly his superstar talent.
We're not going to do it here, but Lee, if I were to test you on could you name every head coach in the NBA right now as we start the season on Tuesday, could you do it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, let me throw a couple at you.
Okay.
Who's the Washington Wizards coach?
Wow.
Tough one.
You got it.
Thought you would ask that again.
I was hoping you would save Washington to the end. Spurs or something.
Yeah, Wes Unseld Jr.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, I got one more for you. Yeah. Orlando Magic.
That is Jamal Mosley.
Okay, there you go. I sort of remember
because he was, I think he was the Maverick. People thought he was going to take over from Dallas there. But he was kind of disappointed that they overlooked him. So I sort of remember him then getting a job somewhere else. And yeah, Orlando. Okay,
And San Antonio Spurs?
Well, that's an interesting one. I know. I think you tweeted something today. It's going to be interesting. Will Greg Popovich, you know, step down after he breaks the record of Don Nelson?
He needs 26 wins surpass Don Nelson.
He's just going to step down. The guy who said he doesn't give a crap about records.
See you later.
I know. That's the whole thing with Pop. He's the one who never talks about individual achievements and accomplishments and things like that. But I'm very surprised, in fact, that Becky didn't get a head coaching opportunity. There were a few other great choices out there. And I was very surprised we don't have a female head coach. And I know that Popovich has talked in the past, we didn't hire Becky to make history, but you know, if they're not going to hire her next,
in that instance, maybe,
you know, I don't know, but we'll see. It would certainly go against the grain of Pop to say, all right, I've got the record and now I'm done. But I also think he is hanging around to get that record. I think he's this close. He's like, I may as well now. I mean, why not?
You said 26 wins?
Yeah, I was going to say, do the Spurs win 26 wins?
I feel like their over under is pretty close.
It's 28.5.
28.5.
At least what I'm looking at here right now. Yeah. Ooh. So it's close.
They'll probably be better than expected.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. They'll probably win 30 games at the very least. Greg Popovich on San Antonio Spurs. They always do that.
A week before the playoffs, Pop just says, I'm done. Out of here.
Wins. See ya.
Oh my goodness. That would be very ironic though, like you said, Lee. Like, he generally doesn't care at all about individual accolades and he just wants that all-time coaching wins record. He wants to pass Don Nelson, and then he just retires. He's like, I got it, suckers. See you later. Good luck catching me. Okay, we got two more questions to wrap up part three of our NBA season preview series, but we got to take our final break to pay the bills.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
There are so many things I wish we could have both ways. For example, a zero-calorie cheeseburger. How about red wine without the headache? A dog that never poops. That'd be heaven. Guys tend to think looking sharp means starchy Oxfords, stiff chinos, rather than effortless comfort. But it's possible to have it both ways. Mack Weldon makes timeless apparel with modern performance fabrics for guys who want to look and feel sharp without sacrificing comfort. I'm sorry, Don Draper. This is 2024. I want to look good and feel comfortable. From their light-as-air underwear to innovative anti-odor tees, Mack Weldon has a full range of clothes that never go out of style. I got a little bit of everything. The air-knit boxer briefs are so good. The Ace sweatpant, mad comfy, but also great tailored fit. And because this is the summer of Henleys, yeah, I'm calling it, it's the summer of Henleys, you know I threw a few of them in my virtual shopping cart. Peacocking is for the birds, baby! Some guys just want to look good without calling attention to themselves. Mack Weldon apparel gives you understated good looks for understated confidence. They're not flashy, just classic. Sort of like a No Dunks podcast. Always in style, always crazy comfortable. Get timeless looks with modern comfort from Mack Weldon. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code NODUNKS. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code NODUNKS. Back with No Dunks season preview. Our next question, it's a silly one. Favorite moment or meme of the offseason / preseason? You can go wherever you want with this one. Task, get a start. What was your favorite moment?
Well, Anthony Edwards of the Minnesota Timberwolves, he had a great rookie season, not only on the court, but off it. He was just such a lovable guy, great quote. He's an enigmatic dude. And he went into the offseason and had himself a real fun time, it seems like. So there's a few parts to my answer here. The first part, he was interviewed by Monica McNutt during Summer League. He was asked, what's he been doing? And man, I'm just jealous of Anthony Edwards. This guy's just doing a ton. Let's take a listen to part of that interview.
I got a new hobby, bowling. I'm really good at bowling now.
Oh.
Yeah, very.
Like strikes?
Yeah.
Bumpers or no?
Man, come on, man. Like 200. I'm bowling 200 for sure.
Okay, that's not what we talked about pre-interview. Tell me about Lake Minnetonka.
Oh, yeah, man. You know, I got baptized in Lake Minnetonka. I hit a couple backflips, you know, swimming. I'm going back out there real soon. Meet me at Lake Minnetonka, all Minnesota fans. I'm going back out there. Jet skis, everything. We're going to have fun.
Can you swim?
Yeah, like Michael Phelps.
Like Michael Phelps?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, guys, before this gets out of hand, that's Anthony Edwards. In case you didn't know, there's nothing he can't do.
Yeah. Multi-talented, baby.
Multi-talented. The guy does it all. In an interview, just throws out, he's bowling 200, doing backflips. Apparently, during the offseason, he grew 2 inches from 6'4 to 6'6. His coach said it as well. It wasn't nice. Just him. So, yeah, that's pretty big. So that'll help this year. And also, this isn't from this offseason, but I found out that Anthony Edwards' dog is named Ant Jr. And when you name a dog after you, that's cool. There's a picture of Ant Jr. And he did a little black and white session as well. If you're watching on YouTube, it's a cute little dog. So, man, this guy's just living it up.
So what's that photo from last?
I think it's from last. I think it's from 2020 year. Is when he got the dog. I believe the dog is about a year and a half. I'm not sure. I don't know when his birthday is, but Ant Jr. loves him. He loves it. I think he got him during the pandemic.
That's right.
A lot of people got pandemic pets, and I think Anthony Edwards was one of them.
Yeah, good. He is hilarious. I could listen to him talk about anything.
He's so funny.
Like, yeah.
Let me pitch you a quick nickname for him. We know he's good at basketball. He says he's good at bowling. He can do backflips. He had that interview last year when Alex Rodriguez bought the team and he was talking about how good of a baseball player he was. Mm-hmm. Why don't we call Anthony Edwards Mr. Perfect? The guy can do everything.
Oh, I like it. Well, I like it. If he starts like chomping on gum too, wearing a towel,
smacking it all
around his neck. Yeah. Oh, I like that a lot.
Pretty good.
There's something there. Okay. Okay, so Anthony Edwards, just the star of the offseason for Tass Mellis. Lee, let's go to you next. What do you got?
Well, I was honestly just going to say Sean New on Twitter just put up his entire feed. He is brilliant at putting up the memes. Have you guys seen? I think you guys must all follow him. I think he's from...
What a plug for Sean New.
Every time he puts one up, it's a banger. He had three, I think just yesterday, he had a couple of great ones out there. So I was going to put okay. that one up. And there were some other really good memes in the summer. One,
do you want to explain what they were at least?
Like, there's one about from The Office, from the US Office, where Dwight is in a club or something like that, having a good time, and someone comes up and touches him from behind, and then he turns around and he's got this like shocked look on his face, and it was like Ben Simmons returning to the Sixers. So that was great. And he had another one. I'll let you go and check it out. From Michael Jordan from the Last Dance meme that was perfect for a ridiculous tweet that was going around yesterday. But yeah, he just nails it. It knocks him out of the park every time. I think he was also one of the ones I liked the most in the summer was when Andre Drummond signed with the Sixers, and everyone knew about the beef history there with Joel Embiid and Andre Drummond, and when they met each other and they embraced. A lot of people, I think Sean was the first one to put it up anyway, who had the, from the Last Dance, the Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, fuck you, you bitch sort of thing. Yeah, yeah. So that was a great one. But my meme from the offseason is one that was just going around last week. We talked about it yesterday, the Jason Kidd gigantic collar. Yeah. I don't know how many, when he sort of stopped that, the guy, but it certainly he wasn't expecting the response it had. It had, I think, almost 200,000 likes in the end when he was just like, all right, I'm done. He basically covered the entire galaxy with that collar so he could do it no more. So that was hilarious. I thought that was great. It was a pretty good summer. Actually, a pretty good off-season for memes and everything. So, well done, people.
Well done, people. Well, what's a good account of people trying to explain memes? There's got to be an account of older people or something. Because it's an impossible explainer. It's an impossible feat. You just can't do it. You know, it's useless trying to explain a meme. I mean, so there's got to be a good account of just people like, there's a guy in a photo and he's looking at a guy's butt. You know, it's just... There's got to be one out there.
I thought that one would come up for sure. I'm glad you went with it, Lee, the Jason Kidd caller, even though it's pretty recent. Trey, where are you going with this one?
My favorite moment of the offseason is when the Clippers were announcing their new stadium, the Intuit Dome.
Yes.
In particular, how excited Kawhi Leonard and Paul George were to be seeing this. Feel It in My Bones, a classic song we pan over. And Kawhi and PG, this may be the Intuit Dome, but they are not into it at all.
Wait, you said this is a classic song. Who was that?
Okay, so I looked it up. I don't know who is performing this, but I think it's called Feel It in My Bones by Tiesto featuring Tegan and Sarah.
Oh, okay. Okay. I don't know
Tiesto well enough to know what he looks like. He was at an F1 race, I believe, at the Netherlands Grand Prix, but I don't think that was him. I don't think that was Tiesto himself, but great video from Arash Markazi, and honestly just an incredible screen cap of how excited Kawhi in particular was to be there looking over. So good. Steve Ballmer even is not super excited here, That's crazy.
Steve Ballmer wasn't standing up grabbing thighs at that little press conference. remember that, Lee?
Yuck.
What are you talking about? The guy was pumped, man. He was having the time of his life.
There he is.
I knew he had that.
Feel it in my bones!
The guy there just grabbing his arm saying, get off me, you creepy old man. Come on, that's weird.
my favorite moment of the offseason was also involving the Clippers, also involving this new arena that they are building. But it was a particular tweet from Arash Markazi that you said there, Trey. And it was this. I'll read it to everybody and show it. The Clippers will have approximately a 27-1 fan to toilet or fixture ratio at the Intuit Dome. Steve Ballmer said it will be the most in the NBA and allow fans to take care of their business and not miss a play. There was so much written and tweeted about the Clippers having a bunch of crappers in their new arena, which was amazing to me. 27-1. Incredible, Tass.
That's a great ratio, huh?
It is. Seems.
I'd like to see a breakdown. Those are just numbers to me. You know, what's every other arena?
Well, I think, okay, don't quote me on this because I did some, like, really shitty, pun intended, research. And I thought I saw that the Jazz maybe have a good one, like an 85-1. 85, though.
Oh.
Yeah, so 27-1. No problem. Lily. So, you know, that one guy we used to work with, he could definitely at the arena, if he had to take a crap, take off all his clothes, hang him up in the stall. No problem. No one's banging on it. There's so many. Yeah.
It reminds me of that Curb Your Enthusiasm episode where Larry's assistant is monitoring his toilet trips, and it's Richard Lewis's girlfriend. He's like, what's going on? You're going 10 to 14 times a day. And Larry's like, I don't need her monitoring how many times I go to the bathroom a day. It's they go back and forth. I end with them, Larry and Richard Lewis having a colon contest.
So this is I just couldn't believe how much was like written. I mean, it's the off season, so I get it, but there was Ballmer talked about this, like there's like a good couple paragraphs of him talking about all the crappers they're gonna have in this new dome.
Talking toilet.
He's so pumped. He's like you don't gotta rush, you'll never miss a play.
Yeah.
Just hang out in there.
Yeah, are there screens in the toilet? Is that what you're going to ask, Tass? Yeah, that's a great follow-up question. Yeah, then you...
Want them on the floor. You want people on the floor, but I guess if there's TVs in the toilets, I mean, I don't know if we're spreading rumors, but sounds like there are.
Well, what if every seat is a toilet?
A 1-to-1 ratio. That would be humongous. Yeah.
1-to-1 ratio for your twos during the game.
The Lakers are going to one up the Clippers on this one. We put a toilet in every seat. If I'm not mistaken, eventually pictures of the washrooms came out, at least the men's washrooms, with urinals. And they have like a basketball, like a free throw lane around it, and then like the 3-point line.
No, that was fake. That was fake, wasn't it?
He's basically saying, I want everyone to just piss everywhere except for in the actual toilet thing here. If you're going to have screens up there, and then you're going to have a 3-point line there, no one's going to piss in the urinal. It's just going to be like everywhere but the urinal is where it's going to go. It's crazy. It's crazy. You want less distractions in the toilet so guys can actually, I mean, they're bad enough anyway at their accuracy. You don't want them looking elsewhere so many different times.
I thought that was a joke photo, Trey, but I didn't realize that might be real.
I mean, I don't know. They're in a basketball arena. They're obviously very proud of their bathroom surplus. It looked fake, but I don't know. I like to imagine it's real.
I thought I've seen that photo before, that's why. But probably I maybe want to do some research on that.
Well, here's a photo you haven't seen. Another great moment from the offseason. On the day that NBA 2K was releasing their rankings and all the new stuff for 2K22, Evan Fournier was not happy. Every fucking year, bro. I am sick of this shit. And look at the picture they gave Evan Fournier. That was Evan Fournier when he saw what they made him look like in NBA 2K22. Doing the Pau Gasol hoof hand. What a crazy.
Wow, what happened there? I mean, 2K's pretty good at getting the real.
Totally, usually but... pretty good. This guy's got no chin, and it looks like he's been driving outside for 6.5 straight hours.
Okay. Mm. Great moments. Another fun question. Remind us, guys, of your favorite memes or moments from the offseason or preseason. Drop them in the comments below the YouTube video. Let us know in the stream team. Tweet at us at NoDunksInc. Final one. It's also fun. We ask this every NBA season preview. And honestly, we've gotten it right a couple times where we try and predict the next big fashion trend in the NBA. There was the infamous one year where we called turtlenecks. We straight up said turtlenecks were going to be a thing, and we nailed it. A lot of guys started wearing turtlenecks. So that is the final question. Biggest fashion trend. Try and predict it. I'll go first, guys, because I actually just saw this recently, and I'm like, yep, an NBA player is going to show up to the arena wearing this. You can lock it in. And it's really weird. I believe it's Japanese. That's who created this. It is the full face sunglasses. Now... Okay, quite a look. again, I think an NBA player will show up in this, especially because, you know, we're in the mask era right now. We are in a pandemic. It is covering your mouth there, too, for those that are watching on YouTube. Sorry, for those that are just listening, we are showing this insane new sunglass that it just covers your entire face. Sort of Squid Game-like, I guess, too. So I think this is the next big thing, Trey. Would you wear this?
Well, Skeets, I recently had to go to Lenox Mall here to get my phone fixed, and I saw a kiosk selling these.
There you go.
And I was so close to stopping and getting one of these, because, man, how crazy would this look with my giant beard sticking out of the bottom of it? A very V. Stiviano look, if we're being quite honest here. What a throwback, but I think we will see somebody wear one of these.
Yep.
I don't know. Who would I put my money on? Montrezl Harrell. I think Montrezl Harrell will wear one of these.
Kelly Oubre?
Sure, good call.
He could show up in that. I could see that.
Yeah, this is a question here. Oh, no, that's not that one. It's this one here. Still with the, don't they fog? I mean, yeah, automatically, that would be my first question. Like, you know, this doesn't look like there's a whole lot of room there to for your breath to escape.
Sort of? Yeah. Huh? Great point. I wouldn't worry about it fogging on the outside. Yeah, I mean, the inside might be a little uncomfortable. But look, you do crazy things for fashion. Okay, so I'm calling the full-face sunglasses. Lock it in. That's going to be the new big fashion trend. Lee, let's go to you next. What do you got?
Yeah, this is always the toughest question. Sort of guessing what people are doing. I'm actually going to say, I don't have a photo of it, but I've noticed with the Atlanta Braves baseball run, Trey and Larry Luke, they're getting super tall with their hats. Maybe that's going to be... I think. Oh, you have got. Oh my God!
Wow, I think that's Trey's answer.
Oh wow!
Yeah, my answer is funky hats, Lee. Oh. For me, it started with seeing Timothy Luwawu Chalamet going to be starring in the new Willy Wonka. Somebody's going to start wearing very weird hats. Maybe a top hat. Probably Carmelo Anthony. Like you're saying, every win the Atlanta Braves get here, this hat is getting taller and taller, and I know funky hats are going to be a thing, because even Skeets is posting pictures of himself wearing an insane hat. What is this?
That is honestly like a cricket hat from Australia.
Yeah,
a baggy
it's from
green.
Australia, Lee. Oh, Dunk is it? Top sent me this, yeah. And they said, this might be the most insane Raptors hat ever made. And I'm like, like a lot of people saying I look like Waluigi.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, which is true. It's a I guess it is a cricket hat, right, Lee?
Yeah. When you make your debut for Australia in the test team, you get a baggy green cap, and that's exactly what it looks like. And it gets your little number on it, what number you are to represent Australia, and that's it. I mean, those ones are a little small. That one looks a little Buffon-y there, but it's the same sort of material.
It's the
same
Paul
sort
hat
of,
era.
Same sort of design for sure.
Why does this exist is the real question. Like, that's... Like, who is making a cricket Raptors?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, for Australia, yes, you want one of those, but for casual wear, no, I don't think so.
No, think I look cool in that?
I mean, hats just not your thing, Skeetsy. I think we're friends long enough for me to say.
Damn.
Well, wearing it actually like you are right now in the podcast format, it's actually not bad. But if when you just put one on, you know, with the peak there at the front. You know, it's just not really your thing. It's just not your style.
So this is sort of lame. I get it, but I owe 2 pick 'em payoffs. Can one of my payoffs just be to wear this hat for a show?
So
that seems fair, because that's wow.
It's a weird hat.
It's a weird hat.
There's a lot of people in Toronto playing cricket. There's some.
Yeah,
cricketers.
I used to play cricket in Toronto. It's great. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
That doesn't really make sense.
I don't think you need to wear a Raptors branded giant cricket hat out there. But
where did they send it from? It was sent from Toronto.
It's Dunk Cop is located in Australia, that's where they got their hands on it. And they were kind enough to send me the hat Trey's wearing, the corduroy
that's right.
hat. I gave it to him because Lee says I look like crap in hats, so I gave it to him. And got some T-shirts that we'll start wearing on the show too. Okay, so. Okay, we got wild hats is basically your answer, right, Trey? Yeah.
Yeah, big weird hats.
Okay, big weird hats. Taz, take us home. You got anything you want to predict here?
Well, I'm going to say hats. I do think people, you know, like yourself, Skeets, experimenting more with hats during the pandemic. People were putting on hats. They were sitting at home. Their hair is ugly. They're wondering, how can
people
I cover this thing up?
Just sitting at home putting on hats.
Yeah. Their hair looks nasty. It's getting gross. I'll try on a hat. So I think hats will be pretty prominent throughout the... Yeah, people were experimenting more with the crap that they had around their house. You put on that Raptors cricket hat.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe they went deep and found hats.
That's a hat.
Like Lee, if you're watching on YouTube, is Nostradamus' least... What was Lee's hat? What was Lee's name? Was it? Wasn't Lee Stradamus, was it?
Ostradamus, I think.
Ostradamus.
Yeah.
The Aussie.
Yeah. Beautiful. So, yeah, the hats are going to happen. We got Timothée Luau-Cabarrot here in Atlanta. He's playing for the Hawks, Trey, so maybe he'll wear that.
Get him a top hat.
Get him that top hat, yeah.
Okay, let's call it there. talking hats, this has been a wild one. You can tell we're at part three here. Some of us will be back tomorrow to answer more burning questions about the upcoming NBA season, part four of our week-long preview series. I say some of us because, guys, it won't include me. I'm sad to say I'll be listening to you guys break it down on part four and five. Going to sneak in a quick vacation here. Go wear some hats in Arizona is what I'm
going to do.
Sunny out there, you got to.
Oh, some very big hats. Yeah, I'm headed there early tomorrow morning, so I'm there till early next week. I'll be back on Monday. So, yeah, just you guys holding it down for part four and part five. Make sure you subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to No Dunks. Help your boys out with ratings and reviews. Leave your comments and hit that little like button. Also, I'm going to miss this. I'm more upset I'm going to miss new No Buffs episode, our Survivor podcast. That's on tonight, but we break it down on Thursday around 5:30 p.m. Eastern time with Jason Concepcion. So that'll be Jason, JD, and Trey talking about No Buffs. Tass, are you back in or what are you doing? I mean, I know you watched the episode, the premiere episode. Have you been watching even though you haven't been on the No Buffs?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice. You're hooked.
That's a good time.
Yeah.
That's an hour? It goes by quick.
Oh, yeah. You know, just you got the challenges. You got the strategy. It's flying by. You got all these advantages and disadvantages. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so that's No Buffs. That is its own separate feed, guys. If you're a Survivor fan, seek out No Buffs Survivor 41 podcasts. We also, of course, do the YouTube video. It's its own channel there. So go hit that up. Subscribe if you are a Survivor fan and tell your Survivor fans about No Buffs with Jason Concepcion. Okay, guys, you have a blast tomorrow. Part 4 and 5 coming up later this week. I'll talk to you guys soon. Until then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us, and remember, no Skeets Thursday and Friday, but I'm sure he'll be bringing us back some hats from Arizona that will be sport next week, right?
Yeah, I could do my best. I'll find you guys a hat or two.
At an airport, just a bad airport hat.
Sure. You want a Delta hat? I can get you a Delta hat. All right, embrace the day, people. You could stay.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.